Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
It's not the music we normally open the show with. Not exactly, but it's okay. It's Lee Greenwood singing in Butler, Pennsylvania as the former president and as his hats say, future president, right? He has a 45 and 47 on the side of his Make America Great Again hats, a commemorative edition 2024 available for sale in local retail outlets. hey, if it's Trump-related merch, you know it's for sale somewhere, right? So he was in Butler, Pennsylvania. We talked about this quite a bit last week that he was going to be going there, that the testimony in front of the House Committee on investigating the assassination that took place there 6 weeks ago, that, you know, basically the consensus from the experts was that's a bad place to do a rally. And if you've ever looked at it on a map, it really is a bad place to do a rally. You can see building all around the area. And the only thing that would secure any of that would be, you know, having a sniper, a counter sniper unit up on top of the water tower because they can see all of that. The water tower, if you don't know the map, is like if you're looking overhead at a stage, east, west, north, south, like normal, the stage is all the way at the eastern end of the giant fairgrounds. The AGR building is kind of north, northwest of there by 150 yards. The water tower is like due north, a little bit to the east, very close. Okay, I don't know. I'm kind of curious. I didn't even think to ask a question until just now whether the Secret Service actually had counter snipers up on the water tower like they should have the first time. So I'm kind of curious about that. But there's so many buildings all over the area that make it a hard location to secure. So I was apprehensive when I heard that he was going to go back there and that, you know, the experts in protective details had said that that was kind of a bad idea. But what do we say? What do we say that President Trump, if he goes back, how should he begin?
Lee, thank you very much, really. And thank you, a very big thank you to Pennsylvania. We love Pennsylvania. And as I was saying...
it's the only way to start that speech. You could have, you know, before I was so rudely interrupted, would have been, you know, funny, something like that. But yeah, and then, of course, they're chanting and, you know, they're cheering for him and they've got the chart like they did it like they just were starting, you know, the unemployment chart that he had up on the screen.
Oh, I love that. I love that chart. I love that graph.
Because that's the chart he turned to look at.
Isn't it a beautiful thing? But also beautiful because look at the number. That's the day I left office. It was the lowest. Border Patrol, the lowest it's ever been. Illegal immigration. Today it's out of control. But I love it for other reasons, too. You know,
oh, that's
that.
Interesting. I thought the chart was an unemployment chart. I guess it's an immigration chart. My fault. I listened to this last night, half an ear on this, half an ear on the other stuff that I was watching. But in any case, the chart that saved his life, most likely, right?
I want to just let you know that tonight I return to Butler in the aftermath of tragedy and heartache to deliver a simple message to the people of Pennsylvania and to the people of America. Our movement to make America great again stands stronger, prouder, more united, more determined, and nearer to victory than ever before. We're going to make America great again. Gonna win the election. Gonna win the election.
Well, you know, he's hoping, right? Obviously hoping and promising.
And to all Americans, whether you are Republican, Democrat, Independent, conservative or liberal, or you have no label whatsoever, it makes no difference. Our movement, it belongs to you. It belongs to our country. It belongs to our country. And together, in just 1 month, we are going to usher in a new golden age of American security, prosperity, sovereignty, and freedom for our citizens of every race, religion, color, and creed.
interesting moment of inclusiveness. As long as they like golden things, because it's a golden age, a golden toilet, a golden escalator. You figure a lot of gold stuff is coming, at least Trump says that it is. And here's where he got kind of into the more serious, or at least, you know, thinking about the moment now 6 weeks later.
Exactly 12 weeks.
What did I say, 6 weeks? Oh, my God, what's wrong with me?
Exactly 12 weeks ago this evening on this very ground, a cold-blooded assassin aimed to silence me and to silence the greatest movement, MAGA, in the history of our country. MAGA. We love MAGA.
It doesn't feel like it's been 3 months. Wow, that's why my brain is having a hard time with the 6 weeks, and because I keep thinking it's 6 weeks, even though it's been 12 weeks. Like, I keep thinking we just did the DNC. You know, like it was just a month ago. So long ago.
For 16 harrowing seconds during the gunfire, time stopped as this vicious monster unleashed pure evil from his sniper's perch, not so far away. But by the hand of providence and the grace of God, that villain did not succeed in his goal. Did not come close.
John, have you ever had a major traumatic thing happen in your life of any kind, whether it's a fight or a car crash or a calamity, catastrophe, something that's kind of like at a place? Have you ever had something like that happen?
Yes.
And have you ever then gone back to that place later?
It took me a little while to do it.
Because?
But I did it.
Because it's frightening, right? It's, you don't want to think much about it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, I had a major car crash in Champaign one time where a drunk driver ran a red light and destroyed my car. And if I had I used to be the person who, as soon as the light went green, I was going, you know, because, you know, that's how you win in life, right? Is, you know, it's a drag race, right? And that one time, and I was with a good friend, and that one time, I didn't go fast. I just thought, well, you know, we'll take a second. That's why I'm alive, because I didn't go fast at the green light.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a while before I was super comfortable coming back through that intersection, for obvious reasons. That's normal. He's at a place where he almost got killed by an assassin, a place that he's not dumb. He's got to know that it has been said, don't go here again, right? This is a bad idea. Outdoors, hard to secure. Secret Service has gotten very, very lucky, and he's there at that site. Again, that's pretty wild, right?
For 16 harrowing seconds during the gunfire, time stopped as this vicious monster.
Sorry, I think I played that one already. He said something kind of weird at the end of that one, though, where he said he tried, but he didn't even come close.
Oh, did not come close.
Came super close. Came super close. That's the problem.
He did not stop our movement. He did not break out our spirit. He did not shake our unyielding resolve to save America from evils of poverty, hatred, and destruction. Yet we are here this evening in record numbers. This is a big crowd. This is a big one. This is a big one.
Didn't mention Kamala in reference there.
Not only to mark the triumph of American spirit, but over, and you know that this is really, truly, in the truest sense, spirit over evil and adversity, but also to pay tribute to some of the best and bravest we have ever known.
And, of course, he spent some time talking about Corey Comparatore and the others who were wounded. He, was killed in that event.
This field is now a monument to the valor of our first responders, to the resilience of our fellow citizens, and to the sacrifice of a loving and devoted father, a really great man. You know that. Forever afterward.
Now they chanted, and he let them go for a little while because we weren't quite to the part. There's a reason that he didn't dwell on Corey Comparatore just yet, and I'll explain in a second, but he took time even to praise the Secret Service. And this is a part of this conversation that probably hasn't gotten enough attention in all the failures and all the criticism of the agency, which we always try to distinguish between the agency and its leadership and the agents on the ground and what they did right and what local law enforcement did right. But this is a part of this where I think he's right to praise them for this part of things.
Forever after, All who have visited this hallowed place will remember what happened here, and they will know of the character and courage that so many incredible American patriots have showed and know, and they know it at a level never seen before, probably. First, I want to thank the men and women of the U.S. Secret Service who threw their bodies on top of mine.
That really is, when you think about it, an amazing thing.
Without even a thought for their own lives, they were on top of me so fast. They were on top of me, and there was not even a moment of doubt in their minds. You watch those tapes, not even a moment of doubt. I want to thank Secret Service, a great, great people. They are great people.
You know, because when you think about, like, Corey Comparatore threw himself on his family, protecting his wife and his kids, right? That's what he did. And the Secret Service, their job is to throw their bodies between a bullet and the president. Which they did. I mean, when they smother him, they're not just getting him down out of the line of fire. They're literally putting a physical flesh barrier between a sniper and him. And if their sniper's using a rifle, you think, well, they're wearing, you know, body armor. Yeah, not a lot of body armor out there. It's going to stop a rifle round. I mean, it just, you know, doesn't. So the fact that they do that is amazing. And that they... unhesitatingly, that's their job. Literally, their job is to put their life on the line to protect the president. And so it is a moment well worth celebrating. And, you know, he talked about them saving him again on the golf course. And he did, actually, it's kind of interesting. He talked about not only the counter sniper from the Secret Service, but also the local law enforcement officer who took that first shot, or that ninth shot, if you want to think of it that way. Eight shots from the would-be assassin, one shot from the local law enforcement, and then one shot from the counter sniper unit from the Secret Service.
Also owe a tremendous debt thanks to the Secret Service counter sniper and a local police sniper who returned fire within seconds and stopped the shooter quickly and saved many lives. If he didn't stop, he saved many lives. He had a lot of bullets, a lot of ammunition up there with him. And we are, just amazing when you think they did it so quickly without any knowledge of what was going on. Boom. And had that not happened, it would have been a very different story. It would have been many, many, potentially many, many people.
Absolutely. That first shot stopped him shooting, and the second shot killed him, or at least that's what we think happened. It's, you know, I think there's a little bit of uncertainty about all of that, but absolutely that first one, major impact on the outcome of the incident. And then he talked about Corey Comparatore and praised him for his sacrifice, which is an expression of his general life of sacrifice as a firefighter.
This guy would do anything. He was brave, right? Brave guy like you. And he was also a protector who put his life on the line for others, and he loved doing it. And when the sound of gunshots pierced the air on that July evening, Corey leapt into the fire one more time. In his last seconds of this earth, he threw himself on the top of his wife and daughters. He didn't want them hurt. He threw himself. He said he knew what was happening. He didn't want them hurt. And he was hit hard. He was hit hard. And he gave his life to shield their lives.
So, unbelievable act, as he says.
Every father and husband in America hopes that if the time came, we would have what Corey had. Tremendous courage, tremendous guts. And he wanted to protect his family. And he did protect his family.
And we all, as a father, I think about that. And certainly in the context of the Secret Service, think about who you would be willing to sacrifice your life for to protect.
At this time, it is 6:11, 12 weeks to the minute that the shooting began. I would like to ask everyone to join me in a moment of silence.
Played Ave Maria in its entirety, which was good and also long. But it was actually quite a moment. And then after that, he went on to give a speech, as had been interrupted before. 437-1620. Oh, somebody sent me a good note here that there are levels of body armor that will stop full rifle rounds. So my error, I guess that makes sense given some of the stuff that the military wears, but has the opportunity to wear. I guess I was just thinking about ordinary body armor, you know, body bulletproof vests and the like that won't typically, but I guess plates, that's fair. So thank you for the correction. I appreciate that. 437-1620. So yeah, quite an event. And for him to go back there just 12 weeks after he'd had the assassination attempt on his life in that same location, even though, again, I was saying on Friday, I thought it was not a good idea, but he did. And I really was not high level of concern, but somewhat concerned. And so obviously very glad that nothing went wrong. Meanwhile, back here in Florida, we are watching Hurricane Milton. Approaching Tampa is where it's going to go. It looks like we aren't likely to see any effects. Maybe a little bit of wind. We are outside of the expected rain zone even, but a little bit of wind maybe Tuesday night. There's a possibility we could get to tropical storm force winds just in our area. But like really, if you look at the map, even the expected wind arrival zones late Tuesday is like out just outside of Escambia and like right through half of Santa Rosa County the last time the map came out. And the projection has not changed. But it's going to be a big storm. It's going to be a level 3, possibly a category 4 storm, and then maybe weakening a little bit as it hits Tampa, where, great, we're going to get a second massive hurricane originating in the Gulf and striking Florida, and evacuations and all that. We'll talk about that in just a moment. 525 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Oh, no. Stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
I occasionally have nerve discomfort in my hands, so the things I love to do...
Let's play something, Grandma!
...became difficult as I got older.
If you have occasional stabbing and burning in your hands and feet, try Nervive Nerve Relief. Nervive's clinically studied dose of alpha-lipoic acid reduces occasional nerve discomfort in as little as 7 days with continued daily use. Say yes to healthy nerves with Nervive Nerve Relief.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, no, no, she's heard everything. What are we going to do?
No, she thinks we're gay. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
No, no, of course not. People's personal sexual preferences are nobody's business but their own.
Milton is now a hurricane. We said earlier this morning that it was possible that could happen today. Some said it might happen tomorrow, and it's already happened. And so it's strengthened. The forecast currently calls for the storm to reach potentially a Category 4 with landfall at a Category 3. We signed an executive order declaring a state of emergency yesterday. We now have 51 Florida counties that are in that executive order.
And no, we are not listed amongst those counties. Escambia and Santa Rosa County, not among the emergency declaration pre-landfall. It's now a Category 2 hurricane. Just got measured at 100 miles an hour, so it is a Category 2. Going to become a Category 3 and then probably a 4 before it makes landfall. Somewhere on Wednesday as a Category 3, most likely, going right at Tampa at the moment. It's wiggled just a little bit north. It had been about splitting the difference between Tampa and Cape Coral yesterday. So 528 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, FEMA's administrator says the agency is ready for Milton as it's expected to hit Florida this week. Deanne Criswell told ABC's This Week that FEMA is now funneling resources into Florida and will be coordinating with local officials as that storm comes in. Both former President Trump and Vice President Harris will be speaking today on the one-year anniversary of the Hamas terrorist attacks in Israel. Harris will be speaking in Washington, D.C. Trump is set to have a remembrance event at his golf course in Florida, and President Biden is marking that anniversary at the White House today. And apparently Keanu Reeves made his professional racing debut over the weekend. He raced in an event Saturday at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and he didn't finish last. He finished 25th out of 35.
How many people got shot? Well, you said John Wick was racing Saturday at Daytona or Sunday at Daytona. What did you say? Is that right? He didn't shoot anybody? He didn't kill anybody with a horse kick from a horse? No, nothing? He just drove a car and finished almost last?
It was disappointing. Hmm. Very disappointing.
I would not watch this movie. It's not a particularly entertaining movie. 5:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Brunch and Bubbles for the Gulf Coast Kids House comes up Sunday, October 27th at Portofino. Great fundraiser. Get more information at newsradio923.com. And Bands on the Beach tomorrow night, Gulfside Pavilion, 7 o'clock. It's going to be Knee Deep Band performing.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Israel mourning 1 year since the savage attack by Hamas killing nearly 1,200 and sparking the war in Gaza. Sirens going off in Tel Aviv warning residents of enemy fire.
We heard explosions in the distance, and the IDF confirms that Hamas terrorists fired 5 projectiles towards central Israel. They were either intercepted or landed in open areas, but we are hearing that at least 2 people were injured as a result of that.
Fox's Nate Foy in Tel Aviv. Hurricane Milton now a Category 2 hurricane.
It's important to note that we are going to see a huge explosion in the strength of this storm over the next 24 hours, so you need to be prepared for that. You're going to hear Cat 3, Cat 4. It is inevitable. This storm is going to be very powerful.
Fox Weather's Brenna Merwin. Landfall expected late Wednesday or early Thursday in Florida. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 71 degrees right now, partly cloudy in Pensacola today. Well, 10 more arrests have been made in the Pill Mill case involving Gulfbreeze doctor Elaine Sharp. The 10 people arrested are accused of selling drugs that were prescribed to them by Dr. Sharp. Deputies are still looking for one person in this case as well. Sharp was arrested last week on murder, manslaughter, racketeering, conspiracy, drug trafficking, and money laundering charges. She was the focus of a years-long investigation and is currently being held without bond at the Escambia County Jail pending extradition to Santa Rosa County. House Speaker Mike Johnson says the government response to Hurricane Helene was a failure. In an interview with Fox News on Sunday, the Republican said FEMA had not made sufficient preparations before Helene made landfall.
They had more than a week's notice of this, and yet we still have people who have not been served and even rescued in North Carolina. It is a heartbreaking, tragic, and infuriating situation.
And he went on to make assurances that once the full scope of the damage is known and the financial cost calculated, Congress would allocate funds to the states that need it. Helene has killed at least 227 people across the southeast so far. Pensacola police are investigating allegations that a teenager generated AI deepfake images of several teen girls and young women. The suspect is an 18-year-old high school student who allegedly downloaded images off of the girls' social media, then altered them using AI-based apps. Another student saw the photos on his phone and then alerted the girls that were depicted in the images. After that, the school resource officer was alerted. That prompted an investigation by PPD into the possession of the depiction of child pornography. 50 counties now under a state of emergency. Governor DeSantis extending the state of emergency that he issued on Saturday ahead of Hurricane Milton. That includes 51 counties. The governor says the State Emergency Operations Center is currently at level 1. FDLE is performing maintenance on all their equipment deployed during Helene to make sure it's ready after Milton hits. And FDLE agents that have been deployed to other states after Helene are now being brought back to Florida to prepare for Milton. It is 5:34 News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast this morning.
This is meteorologist Burke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to have plenty of sunshine today with a high near 87 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69 degrees. For Tuesday, nice sunny skies again with a high near 85. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 70. We're going to be seeing more sunshine for Wednesday with a high near 82 and a low near 65. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Burke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And it's 71 in Pensacola, 71 in Gulf Breeze, and 70 in Milton. Our next news at 6, we have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were slightly higher this morning as investors assessed future moves from the Federal Reserve following Friday's strong jobs report. The 10-year Treasury yield was up by under a basis point at 3.984%, while the yield on the 2-year Treasury was over 3 basis points higher at 3.968%. Radio and podcast giant Odyssey has emerged from Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection as a private company. CEO David Field said the move reduced the company's debt by 80% to $350 million. The world's second largest miner, Rio Tinto, has expressed interest in acquiring U.S. lithium producer Arcadium. The two companies confirmed in separate statements. No financial specifics were disclosed. Rio Tinto said there is no certainty that any transaction would be agreed to. If the deal does go through, Rio Tinto would become the third largest supplier of lithium. Futures are moderately lower. That's Your Money Now.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 16th to Pensacola Beach. Sponsored by Data Revolution, this is your opportunity to get connected with top-level cybersecurity, AI, and machine learning industry experts. Featuring a free career fair, Jurassic Park escape room, prizes, and a performance by the ultimate 80s party band, the Molly Ringwalds. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Visit ITENWired.com for tickets.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world, but what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Good morning, 538 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Last week, we were having a really interesting kind of ongoing conversation about driver's ed, safety preparation for kids entering the driver place, the road. I don't know. Anyway, getting their licenses and, you know, how much experience do they really have with that and who really gets driver's ed. And this all started with an opinion piece that Michelle Salzman, our state representative for District 1, had written for the PNJ last Sunday, a week ago Sunday. And I had had her on the show, and I had formed the mistaken impression from our conversation that there was no driver's ed going on anymore. It turns out there is actually driver's ed going on. Just a question of how many people, how many kids, what level of thoroughness and all of that, and whether it should be mandatory, as she wants to run a bill to make it mandatory for anybody getting a license under the age of 18. Turns out That there is driver's ed, and we actually wanted to talk with that with the driver's ed and phys ed and health and wellness specialist for Escambia County. Her name is Dr. Charmaine Sutherland. Dr. Sutherland, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Oh, thank you. Nice to be here.
Good to have you. So earlier in the week, in fact, on Sunday, I think it was Michelle Salzman, our state representative, had written an opinion piece in which she talked about her efforts and her desire to work on a law that would make driver's education more available, in fact, possibly mandatory for all high school students if they're trying to get a driver's license ahead of time. And, you know, we had a long conversation about this on Monday because I thought it was a very interesting proposal. I had inaccurately formed the picture that driver's ed was not happening or not happening very much in Escambia and Santa Rosa County. And I have since learned that, of course, it is happening. And so I apologize for misunderstanding that. But that's why I wanted to have you on, because I want to really understand where driver's ed is at right now in Escambia County. So I have some questions. And the first one is, a driver's ed is available to any high school student anywhere in the county, a little bit limited at Northview High. Is that right?
That's correct. We have it at all. We have six high schools, and they're all running each semester.
Okay.
Now, right now, we don't have Northview, but that's for now.
And is it paid for by the school district? Do they have to pay for it?
Yeah, so our school district pays for our cars. So we have 3 to 4 cars at each school. Our transportation and maintenance support that. And we also have the Dory Schlossberg Fund, and that's available in Florida. And that is to help promote safe driving. And what we do in Escambia County is we take an itinerant, and we have 2 itinerants that service the 6 schools to support driving on our ranges. And the way we get this money from the Dory Schlossberg Fund, every traffic citation, $5 of that goes to the Dory Schlossberg Fund.
Oh, interesting.
So
I didn't know that.
To help our students.
Okay, so when you break the law driving, you're actually funding driver safety training in Florida. I never heard of that. It's fascinating to
me. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, no, that's kind of
but
a cool
really
program.
Don't do it, but hey, thank you if you do.
Yeah. And the courses that they take are, it's an elective, right? They're not required to take it, right?
Correct.
And it's during school time, like it's regular class period. It's not after school.
Right. I think we're very lucky in Escambia County. We do it during the school day, not only in class, but we also have the behind the wheel. I know several different districts in the county have different ways that they provide, but that's what we do during the school day, behind the wheel, and the class portion. And then we do have a summer school, and that's a very concentrated 14 days that we invite students who couldn't make it during the year to take the course then.
So the students who are going through this training, and I appreciate that there's the classroom portion and then also the behind the wheel. And, you know, my wife laughed at me when I went home and I said, did you know they don't do driver's ed anymore? And she's like, what do you mean they don't do driver's ed? You drive right past West Florida High School every day. You see the driver's ed out on the course. And I'm like, yeah. but I do want to.
You know what? It was a trend, and so not all schools, like when I was in high school, we all had to do it. But there was a trend, and it goes back and forth, ebbs and flows. But in Escambia, we are rolling. We are getting as many students as we can to be safer drivers and make better decisions on the road.
I do have a question about what exactly the training encompasses, because I want to make sure that I have a really clear picture and know how a mandate might affect driver training and whether they're getting the kind of training I would expect. When I was in school, you know, we had in the classroom, and then we had what in the late 80s was passed as a simulator, which was very terrible. But then we would get in the car and we drive around the parking lot kind of stuff. But then we did a lot of go out on the road, and you had the 2-brake car, and you had 4 kids and a teacher stuck in a car, and we would go drive around town. Now, of course, that wasn't the first thing we did, but eventually, and that's where we got most of our hours of practice before we would take our driver's test. I know Escambia County does classroom. I know you have driver on the course training. Do they also go out on the road and drive with a teacher?
We have driver ed ranges that are approved by VLAB, which is the people that approve us, and it's the Driver Education Licensing Assistance Program, and they certify our ranges. Now, we could go out on the road, but we also have everything that we need on our ranges.
But like on the range, you don't encounter other drivers and traffic and pedestrians and stuff like that. So what I hear you saying, I just want to make sure I understand, is they don't, the kids in driver's ed in Escambia don't actually go on the road during driver's ed, not normally. Is that right?
Not normally, nope.
Okay.
No, not normally.
And see, to me, that was a big part of the learning process, is supervised driving on the road. And that's why I wanted to know, like, what would great driver's ed really look like? The other thing, and I have a bunch of other questions. We're talking to Dr. Charmaine Sutherland. She is the Escambia County Public School Specialist for PE, Health, Wellness, and Driver Education. By the way, thank you so much for joining me today. I just got a text in, and the text matches what I have also heard, and I want to find out from you what the status is. The text says, this all sounds good, but both of my sons were never able to get into a driver's ed class because they were either full or it was at the same time as a required class. It would have been helpful if it had been available after school. And my question to you is, I've looked at some of the data of how many kids actually get driver's ed, because it's not a requirement, obviously, for all kids to take it. And in Escambia County, my rough estimate is we generally have about 3,000 kids in each grade level. So if we take the 15 or 16 year old, there's about 3,000 every year at that age. Out of that 3,000, or comparing that as your baseline, Escambia had 84 class only students last year and 443 class and driving on the range kids last year, which is around 15% or so. In Santa Rosa, it's 234 class only. They don't even have ranges. In Okaloosa, it was 34 class only and 434 class in labs, so similar to Escambia County. So it sounds like only about 15% of our kids every year are getting driver's ed. Is that because we're short teachers? Are we short cars? Do they not opt for it? What's the constraint keeping more kids from getting driver's ed in practice?
Well, it's an elective. So in Escambia County, if they want it, we have plenty of teachers.
Oh, okay.
We have a driver teacher at every high school that has driver education, you know, minus Northview. So their courses, for example, Washington has six classes, and they're pretty full. But if a student couldn't get in during the year, then they could take the summer school.
Right.
We offer two sessions of summer school this year, and as far as I know, if they see that this course, a counselor, they see that this is really popular, they can add an additional class. So we've got the teachers. Now, other counties may not have the teachers,
okay,
but we do. And then we try to also recruit teachers to be prepared in case that teacher moves on, that we have someone in the wings. Also, because we have those itinerants, teachers that go around to the schools, we have extra support. So we're fully ready to teach anyone who wants to learn more about being a safer driver and make better decisions on the road.
Just to make sure that my numbers aren't wrong, but that's about right, though, that only about 400 or 450, that's the vicinity across the district every year. Does that sound right to you?
We have about 1,200 each year that take our course.
Okay.
Now, when they come in, we offer for them to take the driving permit, which is the Class E knowledge test, and they can take it for free with us.
Oh, okay.
Instead of going to the DMV or the tax collector's office, they get three chances. If they're unable to get the permit, they're still in our classes. They still learn. But we can't put them behind the wheel until they get that permit.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
But yeah, and we get about 1,200 that are in our classes.
Okay. So somehow there's a discrepancy between the numbers I thought I had and the numbers you're telling me. But either way, that's still probably only roughly a third, maybe 40%. And as you say, it's not mandatory. It's an option. You know, it's an elective. They may not take it. The sort of last question on this subject is, for me anyway, is, if it does become mandatory, I know Escambia County has the ability to scale up because you do have itinerant teachers and you have teachers who are kind of on standby. I'm assuming that if it became mandatory and you had to double or triple your level of service, that would take some additional resources and additional cars and bodies. Am I right about that?
It would take, right. It would be more teachers. We're lucky, though, that we have something in place to help our teachers become driver education indoors.
Mm-hmm.
But we have all the cars we need because we don't want to ever push the range to capacity. So we are set.
There
is a mandatory driver ed. We are good. Other counties, they'd have to build it up. But for us, we're very, very lucky, you know, that our school system believes in it and that we have this in place.
Okay. Well, very good. It sounds like maybe range space could become a constraint if all of this kind of comes into play. And that's very interesting to me. And I think one thing I learned from this and that I hadn't known, I was curious about is there a reason why they don't do the on-street driving at speed with a teacher in the car? The reason I ask is because that seems like the best training that we ever got. You know, we prepared for that because it's hours in the car behind the wheel looking at real people and trees and stoplights and cops. And, you know, like that's where you really learn the most. Is there any particular reason we don't do that?
Well, we do a lot of practice with skills on the range.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an extra piece before you get the license that you have to go with your parents on the road. So that piece, you know, hopefully that parent is getting practice for that, for their son or daughter to be ready to go on the actual road. So that's in combination with our 63 hours.
Okay.
So I agree with you. It is advantageous. I took my behind the wheel, you know, on the DC Beltway.
Mm. So wow.
You lived to
tell the tale.
Yeah, that was like, I know.
Well,
I know what you're saying.
Well, Dr. Charmaine Sutherland, last thing I just want to let you, is there anything else I didn't ask or anything you want to let parents or students know that I didn't ask you? Because I may have, you know, I asked all the questions I thought were important, but I want to make sure that I didn't miss something that you want to tell them.
You know, I just think it is such an opportunity for every person in our high schools to just come to this course. It's 4 months of having a professional help young drivers to make better decisions on the road. And if we would do that, our roads would be better. We would have less accidents.
Amen.
Be safer. And you know what? We'd all be happier. We'd have more defensive drivers. So I encourage everyone, take advantage of it. It's free. And you know, if you can't fit it in the school year, come to our summer programs. But also our summer programs, we do open it up to anyone who is a resident of Escambia, age 15 to 18, even if they're not in our school system.
Right. Okay.
So if you went to a private school and you wanted to take it in the summer, you can.
Very good.
And we do have a website that gives more information. But I appreciate the time to talk about this great program. And I do hope people take advantage of it. And, you know, Michelle Salzman was saying, it's important, and we do hope that, you know, other schools can offer it like we do.
Absolutely.
So, and
that's
very
why
lucky that we have it.
And everything I've heard you say fits with her goal of the value of having this for students so that they become safer drivers, which protects
Absolutely.
Us from them and protects them from us and from themselves. And, I mean, this is all to the good. So Dr. Charmaine Sutherland, she is the specialist for Escambia County Public Schools over PE, health, wellness, and driver education. Thank you for keeping our kids healthy, keeping them safe, and for talking with us this morning. I really appreciate the time, Dr. Sutherland.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. 5:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about getting that next vehicle or trying to decide if now is the time, or maybe, you know what? We talk a lot about buying cars at Frontier Motors, and of course, you know, great place to buy good quality used vehicles, 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years old, low miles, you know, between 10 and 50 or 60,000 miles, kind of what they specialize in, A quality cars that you can count on and drive for a long time. But also, this is sort of logical, but if they are going to sell a lot of those cars, and they do, 300 they've got on the lot at any given moment, that means that every once in a while they have to buy a car like that. All the time. They have to be buying good quality cars. So if you have a good quality used vehicle and, you know, particularly look forward to the idea of, you know, putting it on Facebook Marketplace or, you know, meeting with strangers in the Walmart parking lot or, what, you know, whatever you do to sell a car, take it to Frontier and they will sell it for you or sell it. I mean, they'll just buy it from you. But if you want a little bit better price and they're willing to offer you on the spot, they'll consignment sell it if you prefer, if you don't mind waiting a little bit to get that better price. You know, whatever you want to do, they'll take care of you because they need inventory. And if you've got it, they will gladly take it. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Are you ready to experience healthcare that truly cares? At VIP Care, they're not just your primary care provider. They're your healthcare partner, specializing in primary care for adults 65 and older. VIP Care's compassionate doctors focus on prevention, creating personalized care plans to keep you healthy and active. With 4 convenient clinics in Pensacola, same-day appointments, and a dedicated on-call provider available 24/7, VIP Care makes healthcare easy and accessible. Visit getvipcare.com to find a clinic near you.
News Radio 92.3 congratulates the recent winners and finalists in the 2024 Pensacola News Journal Community Choice Awards.
Here is one of the recent winners who can say they are the best of the Bay.
Stern Chiropractic Clinic is honored to be recognized as the best chiropractic clinic, best massage therapy, and best pain management clinic. If you need relief from neck or back pain, headaches, auto injury, or other conditions, visit sternchiroclinic.com to schedule an appointment.
Congratulations to all the best of the Bay winners.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe. No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
About the whole no guns thing, I'm not sure I feel as strongly about it as you do.
Good morning, 5:56 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Argos had a pretty good game on Saturday. It was a little scary in the beginning because they couldn't make a field goal to save their lives. Our poor kicker missed actually the first 3 field goal attempts of the day. Cade Lombardo missed from 23, missed from 24, missed from 26. Like they kept getting into the red zone, and then they couldn't get it in the end zone. So we started to get worried about that. But then
Allen takes a snap, back to pass. He's got a man breaking on it. It's an interception. Mashawn Coward knocked it loose. Tyree Lewis picks it up. He is gone to the house. Pick 6. Touchdown Argos.
In an offense that has struggled this year to get big plays, the defense, Kyrie Lewis, it was actually Mashawn Coward picked it up, and he somehow got dropped or bumbled thereafter, and Kyrie Lewis, it was a defensive end or something, managed to get it from him and run it in, and so that was a pretty cool moment. We got a field goal by bringing in a different person to kick it, Tyler Patterson, then got a punt return, so special teams got a touchdown, so we're still waiting for the offense to get one. Well, they got 2 eventually, so they wound up winning that 31-0. In fact, I think the line of the night was that Mississippi College had more punts than offensive yards. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Biden sending another 500 active duty troops to assist in western North Carolina with search and recovery efforts. He made that announcement on Sunday, saying his administration will spare no resource to support families as they begin their road to rebuilding. And Dubai's Emirates Airline now banning walkie-talkies and pagers on flights. The airline announcing that new policy on Friday and also said that flights to and from Beirut are being canceled until October 15th.
There is a part of me that thinks, well, that is just a good policy. And there is a little part of me that kind of smirks at the brilliance of the Israeli scheme to implant explosives in the pagers and walkie-talkies that Hamas terrorists use so as to terrorize the terrorists, as we all know through this great plot. But then again, yeah, I mean, you... If that's... But what other personal electronics did they get to? Right?
Israel is a nation full of James Bonds.
What tube of toothpaste did they get to? You know, like, what is... What you're thinking very much inside the pager at this point.